What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Woodland Hall Academy opened in 1975. It's a full-time K-12 school designed to remediate and prevent learning and behavior problems associated with dyslexic and ADD/ADHD students. This edition of 411 Teen will talk with members of the Woodland Hall Academy community. First, an update on the news. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Woodland Hall Academy opened in 1975. It's a full-time K-12 school designed to remediate and prevent learning and behavior problems associated with the dyslexic and ADD/ADHD student. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me at the roundtable, I welcome Robin Rennick. Robin is the program coordinator for Dyslexia Research Institute, a nonprofit organization which operates Woodland Hall Academy. Ms. Rennick was the principal of Woodland Hall Academy for 19 years. She also sits on the board of the Coalition of McKay Scholarship Schools. The McKay Scholarship is a state scholarship for students with disabilities. It helps to pay for some tuition costs if they attend private schools. Robin, always glad to have you.
Glad to be back. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for coming. Jill Gilbert is a parent. She and her husband relocated from Port St. Joe specifically to place their son in Woodland Hall Academy.
Hi, Liz. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Chandler, glad to have you. Chandler is Jill's son and a student at Woodland Hall Academy. He's a classic dyslexic and has made significant gains since attending Woodland Hall Academy.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And Dr. Corinda Barrett is the director of the Center for Teaching, Learning, and Leadership. She teaches at Tallahassee Community College. She is the mother of two boys who have experienced struggles with language development, writing, and foundational math skills. Both sons have made great strides with their academic performance since attending Woodland Hall Academy.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Welcome all of you to 411 Teen. The most commonly accepted definition of learning disabilities identifies children who exhibit a disorder in one or more of the basic psychological processes involved in understanding or in using spoken or written language. These may be manifested in disorders of listening, thinking, talking, writing, spelling, or arithmetic. They include conditions which may be referred to as perceptual disorders, brain injury, dyslexia, developmental aphasia, etc. They do not include learning problems, which are due primarily to visual, hearing, or motor handicaps, or to mental retardation, emotional disturbance, or environmental disadvantage. When I say learning disabilities, Robin, just what does it mean in just an operational form?
Well, you know, that definition is, and it's somewhat, when you say learning disability, sometimes that definition has been a state-mandated definition.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that you can be dyslexic and have either reading, language, you know, all these different issues, but not be identified as learning disabled. And that's a problem. Because when we're talking about dyslexia, we're talking about that group of individual who is bright, but they're not learning in some areas given all the opportunities to learn, and they're still not learning or they're learning unevenly. And unfortunately, it's often very hidden because attention deficit disorder, ADHD, gets blamed mm-hmm. many times as the reason when, in fact, you dig a little bit deeper and dyslexia is actually the reason.
Thanks for sharing that, because I think that is a misnomer, so to speak, and folks are very confused about that. So, that was a good lead for me to give it to you. Jill, I know you relocated here. Can you share with me, you know, the impetus for you relocating?
Well, when Chandler was in the first grade, he really struggled, went to the office every day. And I didn't feel he was ADHD, which the teachers try to push on you. You need to put uh-huh. your child on a pill,
medication.
You know, so mm-hmm. he can't focus in classrooms. He needs a pill. Well, he couldn't write the sentence off the chalkboard. He couldn't copy it down, and it was a big struggle with him. And we met Dr. Hardman, and took Chandler to the school and had him tested, and that's where we ended up, and I love it.
That's great. That's great. Would you share your experience, Dr. Bear?
We have two boys. Mm-hmm. Jensen is the oldest. He's 11, and he's been at the school for 4 years now. And in first grade, just struggled. I had a terrible time, and they were going to hold him back. And it was mainly because he just was kind of sitting in the back of the classroom and not really engaging. And so we went to Woodland Hall and tested him, and he started and had a really good year. And then the second year, his brother, who seemed to be fine, was struggling with writing. And the school, the public school, was doing some, you know, writing and trying to help him write. And they finally just said, well, he's never going to write, so we're going to switch him over to keyboarding. So we were like, let's go look at what other options we could find.
Really?
And yes. And then when we went to Woodland Hall, one of the things that we really liked is that they teach the children handwriting, cursive handwriting.
That's real important. Would you agree?
Yes.
Eye-hand coordination.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we were excited that he's learned to write cursive, and he writes beautifully now. And the cursive is much easier for, you know, most people to write. So mm-hmm. excited mm-hmm. that he's able to do that.
Now, Chandler, how would you assess your school? How do you like Woodland Hall?
It's okay.
Spoken like a teenager.
Typical teen.
How do you feel about the progress that you've made since you've been there?
It's helped a lot. I can tell.
In what ways? Can you share something that you can tell the difference?
The reading and the writing.
Okay. What about the reading and writing? I mean, do you now enjoy it? Did you not enjoy it? I mean, are you feel more comfortable with it?
I feel more comfortable with it.
Okay. All right. Is that a normal kind of experience that you find, Robin?
You know, what you have is many times all levels when you talk mm-hmm. about dyslexia. Because, mm-hmm. again, people think dyslexia, reading problem. Now, why we said Chandler, you know, has a classic dyslexia is because his was a deep reading problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where, if I can, you know, Marshall actually reads beautifully, but some of the comprehension, the language, and then the writing issue was for him the major perceptual area.
Okay.
And so, but from, you know, Chandler's standpoint, I think because reading is still a struggle,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we don't like to do the things we struggle with.
Oh, of course not.
But now if you talk to Chandler about what he does in terms of watching History or Science Channel, you get a whole different person.
Yeah, there's a different affect on his face.
That's right.
Folks can't see him. So I gather that's one. Those are some of your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
How is dyslexia manifested? I mean, how do you know, or what are the suspicions? I guess I got parents who can share their perspective, and Robin, who you can share what's happening.
Well, and again, because you do have different times mm-hmm. where you might see signals. Typically, though, the preschool area, some of the red flags, and this will be probably a child that will not be reading well, is they have some speech issues. They might not make sounds well. They many times will have difficulty in maybe remembering names of colors or doing the writing fine eye motor coordination that, you know, you expect a preschooler to do. So that might be your first red flag. But you might pass through that, and again around second grade, you might see one of them that's more struggling with the handwriting, start getting the ADHD label placed on them. When we test them, we look to say, are there perceptual problems? What's going in their eyes? Are they being able to remember with visual memory? Are they going to be able to remember and turn it into the handwriting part? Are there auditory problems? Are there then the language? And so that there's the different flags. And as I said, with the ADHD child, what happens is around fourth grade, you start seeing breaks in comprehension. Everybody keeps on saying you're not paying attention
mm-hmm.
when actually it's that cognitively what's happening is you're being asked to tell the main idea. You're being asked to draw conclusions. These are language-based issues, and when you have difficulty with that, comprehension is going to be factored. And just paying attention is not going to change those things.
Right.
But as I said, very often that's what is identified, and they don't look any deeper or then do the therapies that will make a difference.
What were some of the signals that you experienced,
Dr. Barrett? One of the things that we saw with Jensen was he couldn't rhyme. He had a hard time with the rhyming. And, you know, we read Dr. Seuss, you know, up on, you know, I forget, pup, up, cup, all that, you know.
I do not like green eggs and ham.
and he just couldn't do it. I mean, he just couldn't get the rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, so he struggled with the words, struggled with getting the sight words in his head, struggled just with the basic foundations. I mean, and it seems like things wouldn't stick. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the other part we really noticed, is they weren't sticking with him. And then with the younger one, you know, just some of the – with him, he's very verbal, and so you don't expect there to be any issues, but it was just the writing is really what we saw, is he okay. just couldn't get the writing down.
How about you two?
Well, we struggled with homework. It was, I mean, every night it was a fight where I'd probably left the table crying more than my son did, you know. Mm-hmm. What do we do? Mm-hmm. And we would go to the ESE meetings, and I was the one that felt intimidating, you know. Mm-hmm. And what do I do for my child? What do I do? Nobody had answers. So when we had him tested and finally found out what we were dealing with, it was easy from there on.
Okay. Talking about testing, Robin, would you share the techniques for assessment?
What we do is very different from a basic psychological. Mm-hmm. It's not a psychological. Mm-hmm. We do about 21 different activities. And again, we're looking to identify, is this a child who has the intellectual capacity to function? So is there intelligence there? Then we look and say, what's happening, or where's the missing parts for, like, the rhyming? That's mm-hmm. an auditory discrimination problem. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking to say, you know, can they hold the sounds? Can they replicate them? Can they remember sequences? Because all those are foundations needed to read. Mm-hmm. We look at visual. And we say, you know, can if you're looking at something, can you remember, you know, 5, 6, 7, a word that you can look at it one time, sit down, and write it? Visual motor. And what you'll find is it's an unevenness, that a child may be good in one thing, they're not very good in the other. It's not a level playing field. So that's, again, it's, you know, he's so smart, but that's, you know, what the parents call the children. And then we look at what the teachers are saying, you know, and then we look at the reading, the writing, their actual skill level. So it's a whole syndrome that you're looking for to determine what's their strength, what's their weakness, and then, you know, where do we need to head to make the changes with that.
How does your program differ than what is provided in public schools?
I think that we have what's called a multisensorial structured language education program. And that is a program that has been identified nationally as having all the components needed, that we're systematic, we're deductive, you know, a lot of educational words. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we have, so it's a very systematic program. It's a program that says, if you are not reading, let's forget that you're in third grade. Let's go back to the very beginning, and let's build it one step at a time. So, and then while we're doing that, if the reading is the issue, let's teach you math and science and the histories, so in the other ways, hands-on, mm-hmm. verbally, so that you're learning. You know, Chandler is such a good example in terms of a very bright, intellectual person who, if he had been stuck in, you know, classes where you got to read every single thing, as opposed to being able to experiment, talk, gain back feedback, he wouldn't be learning where he is now.
Okay. Chandler, what's your favorite aspect of school or your favorite subject?
My favorite subject would be history and science.
Why?
Because I just like it all. I like how it understands how things work and how stuff was built and how countries and wars happened and stuff like that.
Okay, all right. Robin, what is the etiology, or is there an etiology when we have these issues of dyslexia or ADHD or ADD?
You're talking with dyslexia and a lot of ADD as a genetic factor. And so many times if you look in the family, you'll have, your mom or daddy may have struggled in school, may have uncle and aunt. You know, you go back and there's roots because it is hereditary. Mm-hmm. You have issues, though, that also which people aren't aware of is dyslexics and individuals with ADHD have autoimmune issues, a lot more allergies, a lot more kind of health issues, stomach problems, migraines, you know, the runny nose, allergy type mm-hmm. things. And that's an important factor, I think, that people overlook. In fact, of course, we had Memorial Day weekend, and I won't name any names. They're not here, but we had a child who was off schedule and who was off diet, and we saw behaviors the last 2 days we hadn't seen in 6 months. You know, crying, couldn't process, couldn't just focus. And so that autoimmune system of looking at what's happening environmentally is very important as well.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I am having a very informative conversation with members of the Woodland Hall Academy community. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. And I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and we have been having a dynamic conversation talking about Woodland Hall Academy. I would like to talk with the parents particularly right now because I'd like to get your input on the type of behaviors that you saw in your children. As I was saying during break, the reason I want to look at this is so often we, you know, children who are dyslexic or ADHD or ADD are identified as behavior problems. You know, they're just bad kids. They're behavior. It's not about really the dynamics of what is going on. So whomever, Jill, would you share some of the responses and complaints that you may have received?
Wait, Chandler, he had more of a problem of low self-esteem mm-hmm. than we had behavioral problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
But I've seen, you know, the children with the behavioral problems.
How was that low self-esteem?
A lot of it is the diet, you know.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. How was the low self-esteem manifested? How did you know that, you know, he had low self-esteem?
He just couldn't do anything. You know, you'd ask him to do mm-hmm. something, and it was, I can't. I uh-huh. can't do it. Just this whiny, I can't, mm-hmm. you know.
No confidence. Didn't feel like he was able to be, he hadn't met with success, probably.
Right.
And therefore felt like, I can't do anything.
And wasn't the pretty much what you were getting from teachers is he could, if he wanted to, he just wasn't mm-hmm. trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, and I got
that,
a lot
I'm
of
glad
that
you
from
added
teachers,
that problem because that's
know,
the important part.
I heard he was lazy and, you know.
Yeah.
He okay. was lazy and just couldn't do anything.
That sounds, that makes you feel really great, doesn't it? Also, that says that there's, when you categorize a kid like that, you don't have a lot of options. So mm-hmm. that kind of puts them in a tunnel, and there's no place for them to go. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, he can't do anything. Why worry about him? Yep. Why should we deal with him? And that, I think that's what that uh-huh. says. What about with you?
With my two, they're the exact opposite.
Well, we said there was a diverse population.
Oh, yeah.
Here. Okay.
One is very low arousal, and he didn't get in trouble. I mean, he literally kind of got lost, mm-hmm. you know, when he was in the public school because he just sat there and, you know, the teacher didn't know whether he was doing thinking or involved or engaged. I mean, he just kind of will sit there. And then the other one was bouncing off the walls because we didn't know about the diet issues then. Mm-hmm. You know, so I had the exact opposite and just learning how to help him. And one of the things I love about Woodland Hall is there's times when I call up Miss Rennick and go, okay, this is happening in our house. What do we do? And she would give us very specific strategies, even to help us at home. And then it was just nice to be able to have those conversations to, you know, make sure that we were matching what they were doing at school with what was happening at home. So it's really helpful.
Well, that's the benefit of having Woodland Hall
Academy.
It's
a great resource to have here.
It's really done an excellent job and has a great reputation, and that's why we chose to feature them, because I think people need to know about the options that are out there. Robin, would you share contact numbers, website, whatever, for the listening audience?
Real easy website, woodlandhallacademy.org. So woodlandhallacademy.org, and then our telephone number is 893-2216. And, you know, I think you had asked earlier a little bit about difference of Woodland Hall, that we truly try and make it a school, parent, student cooperation standpoint.
It's a community. And that's why when you, if you noticed at the beginning, I introduced it as a community.
It is very much a community.
It's a community. And I think that is a unique component of it. Yeah. That, you know, it's not like you just take the kids and you work on the kids. It's a whole family.
Okay. And we try real hard. I think the difference, which is always, now these two have been here long enough that when I call, they don't have this horrible, you know.
What are you calling for?
But I even still for them, I call and I say, okay, this is Ms. Rennick and there is no problem. and I have to, for the first, you know, we call and try really to tell our parents when there's a good thing, you know, or email something that's happening that's good, because the parents have been so just not really brainwashed, but so acclimated to, if school calls, it's bad. If school calls, they're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so they're always at that kind of fight. I'm either defending my kid or I'm going to beat them when I get them home. And so we've got to start them where, you know, here's where they are, and we're progressing. And it's also an issue that, you know, I've had some parents come to me recently that at 11 years old, they've been told their child is going to have to have a special diploma. Now, this is a child not with a low cognitive at 11. Oh, I've had them at 9 coming to me. And these are not cognitively challenged. These are not children with low IQs. I mean, some of these are IQs 120.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what is being told to the parent is, we've basically written off your child because we don't know how to teach them. Now, they don't say that we don't know how to teach them.
Of course not.
But we've written off
your
child.
It's not them.
That's right.
It's a child.
That's
okay.
Right.
That's the problem.
And, you know, I don't write off a child. I mean, we really work at Woodland Hall to say, if, you know, and I tell my teachers, the first place you go when a child's struggling in your class, bathroom, mirror, look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to decide, one, I can only change myself teaching, our behavior. And then if I change what I'm doing, maybe I can get that child to have to adapt to me. And so that's a whole different mindset than I'm stuck in this, you know, book and this curriculum, and if it's not working, I'm just going to do more of the same. You know, I think Einstein kind of told us what doing more of the same was all about.
Wow. Right, right. If one is interested in attending Woodland Hall, they hear this program, they think, wow, maybe that's something I need to pursue. What are the steps that they need to follow? What do they need to do?
The first thing is to give us a call. We're always open to sit down, talk to parents. You know, we look at any type of paperwork that they have or any information they have. And then we do the battery of testing. We take no child unless we've tested them, and then we sit down with the parents and say, either here's what we can do, or occasionally here's what we can't do. And so we, you know, are trying to be as honest as we can, that if we feel like we're the place for them, we're going to be beneficial. So those are the biggest steps. We do have, actually in the summer, and if this is airing at the end of June, in July we'll be having two parent workshops in the evening.
Talk about them, yes.
We have a summer reading program in July, and we always have two parent workshops, one that kind of talks about the issues of dyslexia, ADHD, And the other one is usually talks about diet and nutrition, the difference that makes. And so parents from the outside are more than welcome to come.
Is there any cost involved?
There's no cost to those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, when will this be? Just for the listening audience.
It'd so be, they need to call the 1st
call.
Of July.
Okay.
And, or they could actually probably call in about 2 weeks, and we can give them the dates. I don't have the
okay.
dates
okay.
At hand.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. That'd be super. What is there is the expense that is involved in attending Woodland?
Right. We have a sliding scale. Or, you know, we have 5 children in a classroom, sometimes less.
Okay.
So you can imagine that expense
is
a lot
more.
Wow,
but that's fantastic.
And so what our cost is basically is about $22,000 a child.
Mm-hmm.
What our board has done is kept the tuition from I think $12,000 to $19,000 based on income. The also parents who have children that have an IEP, an individual education mm-hmm. plan, or a 504 plan can access the McKay Scholarship. So that sometimes is $5,000, $7,000 that can be at, you know, go toward the tuition.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and work with parents. You know, I even tell parents if you know, listen and you go, my goodness, I can't afford anything. Is come out and talk anyway. Because I work with a lot of parents that I just try and give them some information that maybe they'll get a little bit more services,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they are, let them know what their rights are, because many times they don't know what their rights are, and so I try and work with them through that as well.
Share with us about the student body, about
mm-hmm.
your population, how many students you have, sort of the demographics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a have a small group. We have right now 20, and they range from 8 years old to 17 years old. It's kind of comes in waves. We have actually about half of them ending up being 8 to 11.
Okay.
And then a fairly big group of middle, you know, about half of them being the middle school age group. Several of ours, like Chandler, are going to be high schoolers next year.
Wow.
More boys than girls. I don't believe genetically that is truly.
You were reading my mind because I was just getting ready to ask you.
I think that boys are more active, act out more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that girls mm-hmm. tend to get put to the side because if they can be the nice, sweet little girl,
mm-hmm.
then many times they are just overlooked because most of the genetic studies say there is not a genetic difference, that it's simply. Girls do have a little different language basis, and so sometimes it comes across differently than boys. But we do have more boys than girls. I think we have 6 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And
Where are you located?
We're located north of town on Centerville Road, so right past the Shamrock entrance into Killarney.
Okay.
Yeah, right before you get to Mumford in Roberts Elementary. Yeah, we're just right down the road from them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. As parents, how would you assess your experience to this point with Woodland Hall Academy compared to the public school?
Well, the thing I would say is being just the nature of it being a smaller educational institution,
mm-hmm.
we have the opportunity to interact, and really we get a lot of support. And our students, and I mean, you heard Mr. Nick saying that the classes are very, very small. So, you know, at times the students just get a lot of one-on-one, more so than they would get in a regular classroom. And I think that's
what's needed.
Yes, that's what's needed. And the other thing I like about the school, too, is they really focus on teaching the children self-worth. In other words, that the child
mm-hmm.
has something they can contribute to other people. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of community service that the kids get involved in at different times of the year. And it's really a great, you know, builder. It doesn't just say, oh, you're a great girl or a boy. It just says you can, you know, you can do this and you can do that. So there's a lot of confidence building, and that's exciting.
And that's important just for success.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, Jill? You agree?
Well, I've always said it takes a village to raise a child. We're in our right village. You've always got other parents to lean on for support. The teachers are wonderful. The whole staff becomes like family.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk in there and talk to anybody about any problem, and, you know, they're on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all work together to make sure the child can achieve what they need to achieve.
Well, we know Woodland Hall Academy is definitely doing a fantastic job. They've been around almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now that,
yes, ma'am.
That's you know, that really says something.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you all are to be commended.
Well, I said we were laughing today. I had my 8th grand student come in today. So that we just enrolled one of my children of one of my earlier students. We've had 8 of them. And, you know, you talk about the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself grand teacher. The first one was real hard to take when the first grand student
mm-hmm.
came in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think one of the differences, too, is because we're multi, you know, it's kind of like the one-room schoolhouse idea. We're multi-age. The students that need a couple extra years to grow up mm-hmm. get that because they're not being placed in, you know, a group that, okay, you got to be right with your peers, you got to be right on the same maturity level because they may not be. Mm-hmm. And the other really neat factor, you know, parents come and say, well, there's no social things going on. You know, I think you'll talk to these parents. There's lots of social.
Oh, there sounds like a lot.
Lots of social. And our kids get to do things that in a big school they probably never would. They just designed and it's going out tomorrow, our, you know, full yearbook that they designed on the computer. They took all the pictures. They did all the designs. We have student council. You know, you got your presidents. You got your leaders there. So they get to be in leadership roles and learn that where that probably wouldn't be an opportunity in other schools. And so all those developmental factors are happening, but they're also happening in a place where when we need to give assistance, we have one of them who's is a leader in some ways, but he's not quite there yet. And so when he oversteps his bounds, we can kind of go, okay, you need to say it this way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so we're there enough to be able to help them move through those developmental roles. And so they're quite social, you know, in a lot of ways. And so I think that is a real plus for what we do.
Now, Chandler, what grade are you in?
I'm in the 8th grade.
8th grade. And have you been involved in extra projects at school?
So I've built 3 yearbooks that the school...
Really?
And, yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Mm.
Oh, what was your favorite aspect of the yearbooks?
Learning how to use all the computer programs.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I'm sure you could teach me a couple things.
And Chandler doesn't think about all the other things he's done.
Okay.
He's just been involved with the... okay, Saturday we did a garage sale. Thank you. Words mm-hmm. escaped me. You know, he's at almost every activity. He's very much a leader of what in the school, mm-hmm. you know. And I think the really good thing, which we've talked about recently, is how much in the future that volunteering is important because as he's heading toward college and toward his future, you know, those aspects are very important. And so sometimes he doesn't think because they're just what he does all the time is he does quite a bit at the school.
Mm-hmm. What type of preparation do you have for the transition you mentioned college, when they go to college? What kinds of things can you do to aid that transition and make it as smooth as possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're working in a lot of skills building. So a tremendous amount of what we do is the study strategies, the how to learn their way.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of work with, as the students get older, junior and senior year, many times they take 1 or 2 virtual school classes, and we teach them how to take online classes. So mm-hmm. it's not just I'm going to plug you in a room, leave you, is that they're learning how to take the online class because that's the way many of their classes will be. We've got a real good relationship with Tallahassee Community College, you know, and help to if they move over there, help them to move into accommodations if they need it. Some of our students go and they don't need accommodations. I've got one that just got her AA degree and was on the president's list most of the time she's at TCC. Another one that should be finishing up at TCC next December. And so we try and make that transition. That idea is that what you're learning here, we're constantly trying to explain to them. They get tired of saying, in real life, here's what's going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're preparing them for real life.
Okay. And that's what's important because they can't stay there, unfortunately, all the time. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. said to me that having ADD or HD is like watching someone change the channels on the TV every few seconds. You get a general idea of what's going on, but you miss the content. Or ADD, ADHD is like being put in a dark room with things being scattered all around to trip you. You don't get a flashlight, but everybody else does. Then, when you finally feel comfortable with where you are, someone moves you to another room. Robin, would you agree with that?
Well, I think that when you're ADD or ADHD and you don't have remediation, mm-hmm. you don't have, haven't learned how to work with yourself, it can be very much that way. I mean, yeah. I've seen adults that they're so scattered, they're all over the place and they can't function. On the flip side, that when you learn the organizational skills, when you learn, and there's a number of different things to learn how to be focused. And also, again, it goes back to, is there some other language, some other processing mm-hmm. issues that you got to deal with? Then, you know, you look at the entrepreneurs, and I think there was one study that said something like 80% of entrepreneurs had ADHD. And so they were extremely effective, extremely able to produce. And so, you know, what our issue, and you know, we at Woodland Hall Academy don't, the students aren't on medication to control ADHD. I mean, I ask across the country, and I don't think I found but one other school that really that's the policy. Mm-hmm. If you tell me my mm-hmm. child has to be on meds just for his attention, I'm going to say, you know, let us try it. Right. You know, I have and because, one, we've changed the environment. We're teaching to what their needs are. And then, you know, the issue of the nutrition, and not just nutrition as my diet, but also looking at the tremendous, again, allergies or the autoimmune issues they have.
Mm-hmm.
And said the little fella, in fact, I was talking to another one today who's just beginning to understand he actually has celiac disease, okay. which is a gluten intolerance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says, you know, I am. He's been fighting about the diet for a year, but he says, you know, I am. When I eat gluten, I do seem to get a lot more nervous and jittery and kind of a lot more, you know, not myself. And I said, oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Because he's starting to see it.
Connect that. That's
yeah.
right.
And so, you know, you've got to look at the whole piece. And as I said, if you can put those together, then that individual harnesses that great energy, that strength, that drive, and there's no telling what they can produce.
Well, I'd like to have you talk about the big bugaboo, which is standardized testing. What's your position on that?
Well, you know, I think we have to have standardized testing. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with that. We actually, we look and we test with the Stanford Achievement Test in September and then in April. We do it twice a year. And we look at that as one piece of the puzzle. It shouldn't be the end-all and be-all. That's my big beef. Because with some of our students, it may take a number of years for them to change because we're changing the basic foundation skills. But I still want to see that test. But I also then want to go and say, now what are we doing in the classroom? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I can say from a long history of seeing kids, I can think of one, that's a number of them, that on a standardized test maybe had 9th or 10th grade levels. I mean, that was the best we ever did with them on the standardized test. And one of those young men is a patrolman with 4-year college, a BA degree. He, you know, was a 14-year FDLE patrolman. We've had others that are in the business world, others that are, you know, running their own business. The standardized test tells one piece of the puzzle. What they received in the other was how to take, you know, that link of not being able to do a test of which I can't study and say mm-hmm. in the real world you're really studying.
Right.
So I think that we've got to get it in perspective. And, you know, I think that's what we try and do.
Is it ever too late to address issues with dyslexia and ADD, ADHD? And I'm thinking now about the adult population.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's never too late. I mean, my oldest I worked with was 69 years old. You know, for his standpoint, understanding that he was dyslexic and getting some of the autoimmune issues made a difference in his life.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with a lady who was about 55, actually several ladies that were 55, 56, and one who had changed her career path, needed to go back to school, absolutely, you know, knew she was not ready. And she's going to get her AA degree at TCC and has almost been on the straight A honor roll since. So it's not ever too late. Some of it depends on how much damage was done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think understanding yourself, you know, in the adult, I'm in the adult ed community a fair amount. And sometimes I just shake my head because they say, well, we shouldn't name them. And I said, you know, every adult who we've identified and I sat down, talked with, explained it, said it was like a monkey off their back. Said, now I have a reason I haven't been able to do these things versus I'm dumb and stupid. And I said, so, you know, let's quit being afraid to name it. We actually test a number of professional people. In fact, just tested one recently who said, I know, you know, she's professional, she's successful. She said, nobody really has a clue, but she says, I know I work twice as hard as everybody else to accomplish. And she says, I want to know why, and can I fix, you know, some of these areas? And so we do a fair amount with adults that people aren't aware of.
Okay. Let's talk about diet. And I guess I'd like to address this to my parents first. What type of dietary accommodations have you made since you've been at Woodland Hall Academy in your family and for your children?
No sugar.
Okay. And that's been a big change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we can tell a difference now when Chandler does have sugar.
What do you see?
You can see a difference. More hyperactive, can't focus.
So what do you use in place of sugar? I mean, I know he wants to have something sweet.
He drinks water, and he doesn't really do sodas. He just drinks waters and a little bit of juice and stuff.
And he's good with that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Dr. Beer?
Well, I have one that when he has sugar, he bounces off the walls. And then the other one, when he has sugar, just kind of goes into la-la land. So it's exactly.
And that's good, because I think that demonstrates
they respond
that,
differently.
They respond differently. Yeah, everyone is not going to respond the same way.
I think our most interesting alternative that we found is they're both in Cub Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we would do campfires, everybody's doing s'mores. Well, we can't do s'mores. But what we would do is go get little cocktail weenies and roast cocktail weenies. And all the other kids want a cocktail weenies because nobody's ever done that before.
Mm-hmm.
So you get creative and, you know, you figure out different alternatives. And we now have tried star fruit. We've tried pomegranate fruit. We just try different, go to the grocery store and go, I don't know what that is, but let's Google it and find out how to eat it, you know. So we've had some fun with the food.
Robin, talk about diet. Really, what role does diet play?
Well, you've heard, because it can go from either angle. One of the biggest problem, and I mean, we read it and hear it every night, is the obesity issue. But that obesity issue also is looking at that your brain needs the protein, needs vitamins, and high sugar just totally robs you out of all those vitamins. And so that is depleting what your brain needs. We know the shifts in attention many times, and it may be as well as the sugar. You know, that's the first big thing that as I talk to parents, let's start getting this under control. And so we were, and it's a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what these parents have pretty much done is, I think, made it a whole family change. If you think you're going to have one child be sugarless in a family, forget that.
Mm-mm.
You know, so it is a lifestyle. Then looking at the high degree of, do we have, you know, somebody who may be allergic to eggs or to milk or I had one today said, you know, as odd as it seems, I think he's allergic to fish. And, you know, and those may be physical responses, or they again can be emotional, behavioral. You know, you don't feel good. So
Then,
you know, you're going, your mind can't concentrate. So we try as we work with the parents and the children to, you know, look at the nutritional aspects, and then fine tune and, you know, talk about, we're seeing this and we may need to, you know, you may need to go to this particular mm-hmm. person and explore that further. As I said, the one with the celiac disease was very interesting because he was 11 years old before they found it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the real hyper kind of OCD issues that he had diminished tremendously once that was identified. You know, so you've got to look at that whole person.
Mm-hmm. How important is exercise? We see that exercise, you know, is decreasing so much in the public schools. Mm-hmm. It's not an option. I mean, it's hard to find a high school that has any type of PE. And what role does exercise play? Do you feel that it plays a role?
Well, I think like anything, exercise, you know, you've got a lot of energy. For everybody, exercise is so important just to get that energy out, to mm-hmm. strengthen the body. I think with our kids, we have PE. Now, a lot of times with the older ones, we don't have PE as much. Mm-hmm. But with the younger ones, about sixth grade and below, they always have PE because we need that. So I think that is important. I've had adults, which is interesting to me, is that the adults, some of them say, I have to exercise. I absolutely have to go, or my body, you know, I get too frazzled. And mm-hmm. so you have that. I'm not the exercise queen, so, but I'm working every, you know, I know that I feel better when I get myself up and do that in the morning. And it helps you just focus better.
Now, I know we've kind of alluded to this, but we haven't addressed it head on, and we have to. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about it, and that's medication. Mm-hmm. Because that's usually, when you read, that's what you hear about. You know, put them on meds. You know, no matter what the problem is, there's always a med. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a drug-induced nation.
We like
take
pills.
Drugs to go to sleep and drugs mm-hmm. to wake up and yeah. drugs to, you know, get clear and drugs to keep our eyes going. There's a drug for everything. I thought, what was that? Restless leg syndrome. Mm-hmm. If your leg is shaking, mm-hmm. you got to take a drug. Yeah. What's the position on?
But again, and I think it was very interesting. I sent it to y'all, the parents last week. Scientific American just came out with a article that said, with children with ADHD, cognitive and behavioral therapy seems to work better and longer lasting than medication.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, we've been saying that since 1975. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's, again, the idea, unfortunately, was that this is something that's a disease and we got to fix it. And in what the medical community too many times does. Now, there's starting to be some truly neurological research that, okay, I'm looking at the brain through different ways, and there may be some other elements that that they are finding things they need to fix or can be altered with the medication properly. They're targeting it, mm-hmm. all right? But too often, teacher says, go take your kid to the doctor and get him on meds. I mean, excuse me, you know?
Right.
And then the doctor, you go into the doctor and the parent says, teacher says he needs on meds, he has ADD, and the doctor, you know, starts with dependent. He may start with the stimulant, Ritalin. Mm-hmm. He may mm-hmm. start with something else. But if you look at it, so many times, you know, they've been three or four drugs, and they quit working. You know, again, mm-hmm. I go, right. What's happening here? So with Woodland Hall, as I said, we've said, you know, if this is an ADHD issue, let's take them off, you know, talk to your doctor, whatever it needs to be to come off the medication, and then let's try what we're doing. And sometimes it takes a little longer, but the long run is this child's now controlling himself, organized himself. He's in control as opposed to, you know, one kid told me, and he didn't stay with us very long because his mom insisted he had to be on, you know, on Ritalin. And he says, oh, I didn't take my pill today. You're going to have to excuse my behavior. I don't think so. No. He did not stay with us. I don't know how he got in there with still taking the meds. She'd said she was going to take them off. So I think that, and you know, and parents come and I think there's a lot of guilt that parents say, I'm being pushed to put them on meds, but the parent doesn't have any other option mm-hmm. being presented. Mm-hmm. And You know, so that's kind of my feeling.
Okay. Chandler, I have a child who's thinking about attending Woodland Hall Academy. What kinds of things would you tell him if he was thinking about coming to that school? What do you think he needs to know?
Follow all the directions they give you.
Okay.
And good Anything? Things happen?
And good things will happen. Don't think it's the worst thing in the world. You got to go at it with an open mind and mm-hmm. explore it and take advantage of it and use it as much as you can. And stuff like that.
Okay. All right. As parents, in our last few minutes, what kinds of things would you share with parents who are a little reluctant, unsure, but given your experiences, what would you share, Jill?
Check your resources. Call, ask questions. Call Woodland Hall. Come in and speak to them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I mean, just we're so fortunate to have this resource here in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And the support is just amazing. And I would tell parents, don't think they're going to outgrow it. Because a lot of times there'll be people around you who will say, your family will say, oh, they're just fine. There's nothing wrong with them. They'll outgrow that. You can't stick your head in the sand. You got to fight for what you know your child needs.
Mm-hmm. Robin, give us the contacts one more time.
WoodlandHallAcademy.org. Or 893-2216.
Well, that's it. My sincere appreciation to all of you for sharing all that invaluable information. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in WFSU.org.